Today on Vox Talks Economics, do billionaires pay taxes? Welcome to another in our Vox Talks based on the most interesting presentations from the CEPR Paris School of Economics Symposium 2024. My name is Tim Phillips. Whether it's corporate profits, wealth, or income, data about taxation for the wealthiest in society is hard to find and it's pretty challenging to make sense of. Perhaps the people involved like it that way. New data allows a team of economists in France to attempt to answer a question that increasingly preoccupies both policymakers and the public. How much tax do the richest of the rich actually pay? Antoine Bozillon of the Paris School of Economics and the Institute for Public Policy is one of that team. And he joins me now. Antoine, welcome back to Vox Talks Economics.
Hi, Tim. How are you?
Good, thanks. And thank you very much for talking to me about this. It is fascinating. Now, many people will wonder, why is it so difficult to calculate the amount of tax that rich people pay? So if you were going to measure the average, the median French taxpayer, what method would you use to do that?
So for most taxpayers, it's actually quite easy to measure the average tax burden. You sum all the taxes paid and you divide by the income that these households have. And we have pretty good recording of those income in tax records, and then therefore in the type of data we can measure really the ratio between the tax paid and the income those households have, and therefore get average tax rates for most of the population, and that would be easy to compute. But for the very rich, those who actually own a very large part of their wealth through corporations, the taxable income, the personal taxable income, will not represent the type of income they actually own and receive. And therefore, that's a very difficult question to assess how much basically tax they're effectively paying relating to the total income, which is attributed to their wealth.
Say we went to the top 1%. That's something that's been in the news a lot over the last 10, 15 years. What changes there? What sort of other things do we have to think about?
At the entry of the top 1%, we still have a large share of wages, and we start to have more capital income, but it's capital income that appears on tax records. It's dividend, it's capital gains, it's types of income that can be seen and traced to tax records. But as we go further up in the income distribution, really to the 0.001% of the income distribution, then we start to see most of the income that is owned through corporations. And that is, you own wealth through a firm that will own other firms. The type of incomes and dividends that will be paid by these firms will be accrued to that holding firm and doesn't need to be paid to the person that actually owns ultimately this wealth. And therefore, it will not appear on taxable income, but it will be income that is real and that those persons have control of.
So if you are going to compute the effective tax rate for someone right at the top of the income distribution, we don't care about the 1% for this. They're too poor for our podcast today. That billionaire level, which taxes are you trying to combine here?
So here then, what we're going to do is for the taxes paid, we're going to sum up all the personal income taxes, which is the usual way. Personal income tax, it can be some form of wealth tax when it exists in some countries. And we'll need to add something which is corporate income tax. Why? Because corporate income tax will be the tax paid on the corporate profits that are owned by those firms, owned by those very top income individuals or taxpayers. For instance, if you are a billionaire who is holding most of their wealth through this holding firm, it would own a lot of firms, which get a share of those profits, which then will be attributed to the final person. And you need to do that for both the numerator and the denominator. That is the taxes paid on those profits and also those profits as part of the income they actually control.
Do we care about this because it's a question of government finances, tax revenues that could be going to the government, but maybe they're not getting as much as they would like? Are we worried that these people are breaking the law? Or is it something about the fairness? We feel that they should be paying their share.
I think it's not the questions about tax fraud. Here we are only discussing things in a perfectly legal and perfectly legal arrangement. It doesn't mean that there's no tax fraud, but here what we're talking is not related to criminality at all. What we are discussing here, it matters for both the issue of tax revenues and the issue of fairness. When income tax systems were set up, they were mostly set up at the earlier part of the 20th century, they were designed in two parts. Personal income taxes, you will tax income that is accrued to the personal level, and corporate income taxes, which taxes income which is accrued through corporations. At a time when you had corporations that were owned with a wide number of shareholders, it was assessed to be fine to have this distinct level of taxation. Because, of course, when you are part of a large corporation, well, you don't have a control over how the profit is distributed or not. But what has changed over the course of the end of the 20th century and beginning of the 21st century is that now very rich individuals own most of their wealth through corporations that they fully control, and they can decide or not to pay themselves dividend. Given that they can keep all the profits within their corporations, they will not end up paying the personal income tax, only the corporate income tax. And because the trends has been to increase competition in corporate income taxes, because multinationals have been very good in trying to play around with the different tax rates across countries, the rate generally on corporate income tax profits have been declining to a level which is now below the top marginal tax rate in personal income tax, which creates this form of regressivity at the very top of the income distribution. So here there is both an issue of, are we missing some part of taxable revenues, and an issue of fairness, because the progressivity is not applied monotonically towards the top of the income distribution. But I would like to stress that this is quite different from saying that the rich don't pay income tax at all. That's not the point. It's the rich pay in France a very high share of their income, the rich being top 1% or top 10%. It's only a small minority within the top 1% who have the means through the way they organize their wealth through corporations to have a reduced rate. And it's not that they don't pay income tax, they pay corporate income tax on their profits.
We spoke to Alice Ciocchetti about the extent of profit shifting by French firms in our special episode on the research that PhD students presented at the CEPR PSE Symposium. To find out more, listen to our episode called The Next Generation PSE 2024 from the 12th of July.
Antoine, in the description you gave, the rough sketch of where these tax sums come from, it's very obvious that it's not a straightforward job to do this calculation. There has been a lot of effort, particularly in France, to come up with some of these numbers in recent history. What methods have been used to estimate these effective tax rates for the very rich until now?
Until recently, it was very difficult to make these estimates because we don't know who is owning what in terms of corporations and therefore shares and therefore the part of the profits. We would not be able to attribute the profits within corporations to persons and therefore to persons subjected to different types of taxes. So a big improvement in that has been the work we've been doing has been able to match data from corporations to data from households, to which by the tax authorities being able to make a link between how much you own as an individual for which company and therefore the share of the profits, which is directly attributable to you, which actually makes a big improvement because you don't need to make any assumptions about whether or not the very rich own this share or that share of corporations, what are the rate of returns. Previous studies needed to make assumptions about that, which could be criticized for very good reasons, and therefore there was a lot of uncertainty. The fact that we're being able to match this data has allowed us to actually show effective numbers by just observing what one individual was effectively paying in terms of the different sorts of taxes relative to the different income that was accruing to that particular tax unit. And that has been a big improvement in recent years.
Take us through the methodology, the steps that you take to be able to come up with these numbers for effective tax rates.
So the different steps are, first of all, we identify tax units. So in France, given it's a joint taxation, it's the couple with children as a tax unit. And we identify what personal income they have and what personal income tax they pay. That's the easy part. Then we add the shares of the corporations they own, and therefore the shares of the profits that every year accrued to them if they have sufficient control over the corporations. And that would be the denominator, the comprehensive income measure, which adds basically for a billionaire, not only its taxable income, but also the fact that he's owning a corporation that is making profits. And if he's owning 50% of that corporation, 50% of his profits are his own income. And then at the numerator, we measure how much corporation income tax that corporation has been paid. And if that billionaire is owning 50%, then 50% of the corporation income tax can be attributed to that person. And we add all the personal income taxes that have been paid, including capital income tax gains, personal income tax, and other forms of taxes that can be paid by that person. And then we end up with the effective tax rate.
And you talk about tax units, the number of households that are affected by this. How many are there?
So there are about 37 million tax units, for example, in France. And when we look at billionaires, we're talking about 75 tax units. So it's a very, very small number. If we're talking a bit more larger to a top group that is using corporations to own their wealth, it's a bigger group of 15,000. But it's a very small number all in all.
So some of the numbers, the personal income tax and the wealth tax rates that these billionaires, people at this level, are paying in France, what are those rates?
The personal income tax rate and the wealth tax rates are very small numbers. It's below 2% of their total income. Most of the income is not taxable income. Most of the income is in the form of profits with they own through the corporation they own. And so those profits do not lead to personal income nor wealth tax income. Here, I need to be a bit more precise for wealth tax because most listeners might wonder, well, given France had a wealth tax, at least until 2016, why were these very rich billionaires not paying so much wealth tax? Well, there are two reasons for that. The first one is that professional business assets were exempted from the wealth tax. Therefore, if you are a CEO of a big corporation that you own, that would be professional business asset, and therefore we exempt it from wealth tax. The other reason, which actually is more important, is that the French Constitutional Court has imposed that the wealth tax should be capped at a percentage of taxable income. The rationale for that is to say that people should not pay taxes on income they do not have and do not dispose of. But the rationale of applying that as a proportion of taxable income means that for billionaires who have a very small taxable income compared to the effective income they control of, makes that the cap is reduces towards zero the wealth tax liability that these tax units owe. So at the end, we have the very bizarre results that a wealth tax, which is designed to say we're going to increase taxes on the billionaires, where effectively have a zero effect on billionaires.
The lawyers that argued that in court really did earn their money, didn't they? we can conclude from this that looking at those taxes, the taxation regime is certainly not progressive. But the argument might be that if you add in the corporate taxes, then it might make the tax regime progressive. Does it?
Well, when you add the corporate income tax, actually, you add a lot of taxes for those very top billionaires, very top income individuals. This is the tax that they mostly pay. French billionaires in 2016, we end up with a rate of close to 27% coming mostly for the corporate income tax. But the fact that the corporate income tax rate is still below the top marginal tax rate means that at the very top of the income distribution, you still observe regressivity because you end up with more income subjected to a lower rate than if that income was submitted to the progressive personal income tax schedule. It shows that the corporate income tax has a role, and this in terms of ensuring the progressivity of the personal income tax rate. And when it was designed at the beginning of the 20th century, it was set closest to the same rate as the top marginal tax rate in the personal income tax. And if you have that, then you would guarantee progressivity, because whether or not you distribute the profits from the corporations in form of dividends to the personal income tax rate, then you would pay the same amount. The fact that we end up with regressivity is the result of the long-term decline in corporate income tax rates from the higher level they were in place, let's say, in the beginning of the 1970s.
So, Antoine, a lot of people would argue that an income tax system really only makes sense if it is progressive in some way. This isn't quite progressive yet. Is the solution, from what you've described, to increase corporate income tax rates?
If you increase corporate income tax rate, you would have certainly an effect in restoring progressivity at the very top of the income distribution. The problem with corporate income tax rate is that they don't only tax the very rich, they tax profits from all entrepreneurs and all firms. And therefore, economists tend to think that they have a negative impact on investment and on other aspects which matter for growth and for revenues for the entire economy. So the issue I think we're facing when having that trade-off is that the corporate income tax is not the perfect tool to have a progressive personal income tax schedule if you need to trade it off with the type of negative effect it might have on, for example, investment. So there are different ways to think about how to solve that. One way would be to try to integrate personal and corporate income tax in a sense that corporate income tax could be sort of a prepayment withholding tax on the personal income tax, which could then be assessed at the personal level with a comprehensive income measure, which will have progressivity effect without having a higher burden on those entrepreneurs and those firms who are not those top rich individuals.
It hasn't escaped my notice that there has been quite an intense political debate going on in France in the last few weeks. One of the proposals I noticed from the left of the political spectrum has been around increasing tax rates for the very rich. From your research, from what you've seen here, would those proposals make a huge difference to the numbers, the effective tax rates that you're reporting here?
So there are different takeaways from the research we have carried out here. The first one, which might be a bit negative, to say if you increase the top marginal tax rate on the personal income tax, that will not make a lot of difference.
Yeah.
Why? Because the very rich will not pay this additional tax rate. So that's an example of understanding why, you know, increasing the top marginal tax rate on personal income might not target those very rich individuals who own most of their wealth through corporations. So then the second type of policy option that's been much discussed in the French debate has been the reintroduction of a wealth tax. Again, I think what our study shows is that Our study was based on 2016, when the wealth tax was in place. So reintroducing a wealth tax with the same features as was in place in 2016 will not make a much difference. Why? Because again, if it's capped as a function of taxable income, again, those very rich individuals will not pay additional wealth tax. So in the proposal of the left-leaning coalition in the French parliament, there is the proposal of introducing a wealth tax without a cap and without exemption for professional business assets. So that's fairly new in terms of design. There's a question of whether it would respect or not constitutional ruling. But if that tax would be put in place without any restriction, it will raise a lot more revenues. Then we'll need to see how those billionaires will react, because that will make a bigger difference to their tax liability to what we have seen so far. The questions of the movement out of France or not will take place, will matter. In all cases, looking at the study we made, I think is very informative about the potential behavioral response of the different tools that the policymakers have in order to tax the rich. I think the question is how to tax the rich in an effective way that actually leads to increased tax revenues.
Whichever direction policy goes, the important thing is to start off with some reliable data and analysis. So thank you very much for talking to me about that today, Antoine.
Thank you, Tim.
The paper is called Do Billionaires Pay Taxes? And the authors are Laurent Bach, Antoine Bozio, Otto Guillot-Zwick and Clément Morgouilleur.
This has been a Vox Talk from the Center for Economic Policy Research. Thank you for listening. If you don't want to miss an episode in future, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to rate and review us. Next week on Vox Talks Economics, everything you need to know about cash transfers in developing economies.